Do you know that? If not, let me remind you, these are the end times. The days immediately before the Lord returns. And so my next question to all of you, whoever you are, please take note. The question is, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's return? For these are momentous times. Times of great peril and great deception. This morning we are examining the passage of scripture we have just read. How it pertains to the fulfillment of a prophecy in front of our very eyes. How this prophecy tells us the day of the Lord's return is so near. And you ask, how can it be? How can a prophecy, words spoken 2,000 years ago by our Lord Jesus Christ, be effective for today and be relevant? Please turn at this time to the Word of God. In the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 46, Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 46, then we will understand, for except the Word of God and the Spirit of God illumine us, we will be totally lost, wondering how can it be. You say it is fulfillment of a prophecy uttered by the Lord 2,000 years ago and is happening in front of our eyes. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, says the Lord. There is none else. This is something we all have to acknowledge, remind ourselves, and thank God that we have Him as our Savior. Continue. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Amen. This is the Word of God. Do you know this God, dear friends? If not, I say you are in a very perilous situation. Make sure that you know Him, that you know Him well, and that He is your friend, for indeed He is waiting to be your friend. And this great God came to earth, and He spoke those words. We are going to read again in Matthew chapter 7. What did He say? It is good that we remind ourselves and we understand. For these words are not spoken for nothing. They are so timely, seasonal and relevant. Matthew's Gospel chapter 7 is a great chapter of the words of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, which we're going to read from verse 21, 22. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Does He speak to someone here today who doesn't know the Lord, who thinks he is a Christian, who has no clue what it is to be a Christian? Perhaps he's following the wrong pathway, but he is under delusion, pretending maybe that he is a Christian. Now, on that day, you say, Lord, Lord. Jesus says, calling me Lord, Lord, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 22. Now, this is not few, please understand. The word used here is many. Many in the churches will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, preached, spoken, testified in your name, standing up in churches, in fellowships, in groups, and saying the things that other people are deceived thereby? And in thy name, we cast out devils. In thy name, done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them. Dear friends, let not these words apply to anyone here. Don't take it as a joke, please. These are serious words spoken by our Lord Jesus himself. To whom? To whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear. What does it say here? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not do this, do that, do the other things? We were Sunday school teachers, we were youth leaders, even pastors, even bishops, even great officials of the church. In your name we've done all these things. Please let us in. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You work only iniquity. Oh dear friends, what a shock and a letdown. People who come to heaven's gate, as it were, expecting to enter and to be told by the King of Heaven, I never knew you. Who are you? Please go away. I don't think Jesus needs to say please even. All he says, I never knew you. You get away. The same book of Matthew has another verse. Chapter 24, which was our memory verse. And these verses are so pertinent, so striking, and I say so relevant. Please do not dismiss them. I urge you and I plead with you. Verse 24 says, there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive even the very elect. People who are actually holding very genuine positions in the church, testifying to the truth until they are told, this is it. How sad we are. How sad this is. Now how can it be? Except that these are the words of our Lord Jesus himself, who says, I know the end from the beginning, because I'm in charge of everything. God, omnipotent, omniscient, and there is nothing he can do, he cannot do, except to fail. This is a saying that we learned as youth fellowship members. God can do anything but fail. He can do everything but fail. Yes, he knows the end from the beginning, and he has told us. Do you understand? Now, before we go to the false and deceptive thing, we want to consider, what is the deception all about? What is being repeated, but it is false? So we want to go back to the genuine thing, the original thing, the original Holy Spirit revival. So that if you know the original and the genuine, then you can discern and identify the faults. We're talking about a movement today that sweeps the churches. Practically every church is being affected. Do you know that? Then how can you know it is false unless you know the truth, the true? So for that, please turn to the book of Acts. And there we shall be fully instructed by the Holy Spirit Himself. Acts of the Apostles is the book you ought to know. To know the real so that you will know what is not real. Unless you know the real, you cannot distinguish. Unless you know the $50 note, the original and the genuine, how can you identify the false dollar note? So, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. This is a prediction and promise of Jesus to the disciples. To the disciples, he says, you will receive power. Who are these? Those fisherfolk and others who had been following Jesus for 3.5 years. And now Jesus is about to return to heaven. And on earth, only the disciples are left to carry on the work. Jesus was ascending, returning to heaven. What did he say to them? These are the words. Please understand, you must appreciate the impact and the meaning of these words. Acts 1:8, a verse you ought to know by heart. You shall receive power. Please understand, until Jesus said these words and until the Holy Spirit came, the disciples were just following. They could hardly do anything very much. And now they were left to be the sole workers on earth, to go into all the world to tell people about Jesus Christ. What hopes is there of success? Here it is. Acts 1:8. Here are the hopes of success. You will receive power. Today you are powerless. You can hardly do anything, but you will receive power. I say that same thing applies to all of us. You can do nothing for the Lord except the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Continue to read. After that, the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost is come upon you. Then you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is a promise. What is the promise? You will receive power. But then, Jesus also said, you are to remain in Jerusalem and not depart. And when Jesus had ascended to heaven, verse 13 tells us what they did. And this is the seat of power, how the power came to them and transformed the group of feeble, worried, and disunited disciples into a band of powerful, spirit-filled servants of God. Verse 13. Please read and understand. And when they were come, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and all the rest, the 12, minus Judas Iscariot. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. And altogether, verse 15 says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, and the number of them was about 120. And so Peter became the leader of this group. Now they kept on praying, and this went on for 10 days. Can you imagine? A 10-day long prayer meeting. At the end of the time, chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This strikes a note for all of us. If we want to have Holy Spirit revival, if we want to be effective witnesses for the Lord, here it is. All with one accord in one place. Doing what? Praying. Seeking the Lord. Obedient to His command that not to depart until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. Verse 2, and suddenly there come from a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were in. And there appeared unto them, verse 3, tongues like as a fire on each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. Here is the key word. Do you follow? We are on verse 4. And as they prayed, the Holy Spirit came upon them, sent by the Lord Jesus according to promise. And suddenly they were transformed. Verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this is the key point. Other tongues. What do we mean? There was a young girl who came into our prayer meeting one night, years ago, many years ago. And as we prayed, she prayed, and suddenly we heard some funny sounds coming. Undiscernible. Meaningless. Just sounds and sounds and sounds. What we call gibberish or rubbish. Then afterwards she said, hey, you all, you Christians are. I said, yes, what's the matter? Oh, you don't talk in tongues. So here is the point of contention. Verse 4 says, they began to speak with other tongues. What does the word tongues mean? Verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak. Now here is the clue. In his own language, what the disciples were saying in other tongues, not what the young girls said to us at our prayer meeting, rubbish. But these people had gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost, one of the three great festivals where the Jews were commanded to attend in Jerusalem. And because of that, this was Pentecost. They heard the wonderful gospel message for the first time. Christ died for our sins and rose from the dead for our justification, and the glorious, wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ was preached to them. How? Verse 6, the last part. Every man heard them speak in his own language. Now here is very clear. No more using the word tongues, but language. What does tongues mean? Language. So that if you say you're speaking in tongues, I say, yes, what language is it? Can you understand? We are going to go into that in a moment. Verse 7. They were all amazed, marveled, and said one to another, "Look, are not all these Galileans? They never went to a language school. How come they can speak these languages? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And in the next few verses are named over 12 languages. How come these unschooled, untaught, uneducated fisher folk speak in over 12 languages? Clearly the things of God. Now herein is the point of contention. Today, there is a great, vibrant, thriving, overwhelming tongues movement. And this is what we are talking about. Now I'll show you some OHBs.
Where does the word charismatic come from? From the Greek charis, which means a gift. And by the charismatic, it means a gift of God's grace, divinely inspired, and tongues, prophecy, and healing are the banner head or trademark of this movement that is sweeping the world today. For the last 60 or 50 years, it has been sweeping around in the churches. What is the meaning of this? Where did it come from? Here's a brief history of the charismatic movement. It began in Los Angeles, a so-called apostolic faith mission. And suddenly, as they were praying, they broke out in tongues. Was it languages? Dear friends, it was an uncontrollable utterance. What is an utterance? It's just an outburst of sounds. If you turn to any reliable English language dictionary, Webster or Chambers or Oxford, it says glossolalia, effusive utterances of ununderstandable sounds and words without meaning. And this is the trademark. If you don't make these sounds, they say you are not Christian. Yes, it must have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and ability to break out in these tongues. So it gave rise to Pentecostal churches and the Assembly of God, two major groups. There are many smaller groups. The word Pentecost is the great festival on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended and all the disciples could speak over 12 languages understood by the people assembled in Jerusalem. And herein is the differentiating point. Whereas the modern tongues are what we call glossolalia or gibberish, the original tongues as spoken were languages, over 12 of them. Do the modern tongue speakers speak languages? Answer is no. Although they claim to be, they would be very insulted and very angry if you say, "Hey, you're talking rubbish." They say, "We mean something from God that is important for you to understand. Because we have interpreters. Oh yes, somebody will stand up and say, I am the interpreter. Dear friends, have you ever come across this? I say a very, very simple way to show them out. Take the message and get two interpreters or three interpreters. You get different interpretations. And the utterances have no grammar, no vocabulary, no syntax, nothing. It's just uncontrollable outbursts of sounds. Now this went on. And in the 60s of last century, the meetings were so big, 40, 50, 60,000 people in big stadiums were meeting, claimed to be Holy Spirit revival. And the people came from many denominations, all claimed to be Holy Spirit revival. And what was most amazing is practically equal numbers were Roman Catholics and Protestants. And when they came together, the organizers said, praise the Lord. Wonderful. This is what we have been praying for, wanting to see. All Christendom come together. Isn't that good? Now we are all one in Christ. Because suddenly, all of them broke up in tongues. Everybody could make those sounds. Now I'm talking of happenings in those days, some 50 years ago, in America. And when 50 and 60,000 people do it together, it becomes a movement. It doesn't stop there. It spreads. So, Protestant and Roman Catholic together, it brought about an amazing healing movement. Why is it there is a separation? Why can't we all meet together? It's a yearning in many hearts. Maybe it's in your heart. I say, is it good? Answer, yes. Provided it is on truth. Provided we can meet together on the Word of God and on the truth of God. There must be no distortion or deception. So, because of this outbreak of tongues, when there were 30, 40, 50,000 people together, everybody could make those funny sounds. They say, now, amazing, at last, we are all one in Christ. Healing. Who doesn't want healing? Why do you talk about old differences? Reformation of the 16th century suddenly was seen as a needless quarrel among brothers. Forget about Reformation. Is that what is in your mind, in your heart? Dear friends, do you understand what is the Reformation? The Reformation was God's great grace on His people. On people like Martin Luther, John Knox, and the Reformers. As they cried to God, and those who gave their lives, like John Huss, people who were willingly go to the death because they stood up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They didn't pray for healing. They prayed for the truth. What we need today is the truth of God, the gospel. It is pure, written as it is in God's word. But in those meetings, truth is not important. Important is love. Love. Don't worry about the past. Please forget about Reformation. And the quarrels we had in the past. All of us are now one breath, one family, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Is it? Let me ask you. Do you think we are brothers and sisters because you can make those funny sounds? So this is it. That is the breakthrough. Immediately, the Roman Catholic Church at that time was holding Second Vatican Council called Vatican II. They established a department of charismatism for Christian reunification and reconciliation so that they could absorb all of Christendom into the Roman Catholic Church. This is the meaning of the ecumenical movement. Now, what is tongues speaking? Here it is. The actual tongue speaking today is glossolalia, making sounds out of your tongues with no meaning, please understand. It's like a newborn babe gurgling away, making sounds. That's glossolalia, also known as gibberish. If you want to have a synonym for gibberish, it's rubbish. People make those sounds, unintelligible chatter. This is out of the dictionary. Incoherent talk. You hear sounds, but they cannot make any meaning. No grammar, no vocabulary, no syntax, no formation of a sentence, just anyhow. But they claim they can interpret. Dear friends, you can interpret, I can interpret. According to what you wish, you say so, and they must believe. Why? Because they got Holy Spirit. You don't have Holy Spirit. So this is the deception. What is the message? What is the message? They're smooth talkers. My brother had a child of 7 or 8 years old at that time. And he suffered from a kind of nervous disorder brought to the... There was a man called Mr. Gray in Penang. Oh, big meeting, charismatic meeting. Hopefully he will heal. When they're praying and laying of hands, what happened? Up to now is about 40 years. The child is getting no better, no worse. Just a vegetable. So these are multiplied again and again. When John Wimber came to Sydney and collected nearly $1 million, the Christians there challenged him. Will you allow a team of doctors to verify whether you actually heal or not? Answer is no. We don't need doctors. We need a stage where we will do our healing. Dear friends, whenever it comes to a challenge of medical scientists who want to authenticate the healing, answer is no. We don't need to be, to need you to be our authenticators. We authenticate ourselves. The proof and the best test is, if you are true, follow me now, and I'll take you to General Hospital, to the chronic sick ward, and all those dying from cancers. Now, you can heal. Please heal them. they will never, never, never take this challenge. Never. Never. Because the whole act is one of deception. Please understand. They say, well, but my friends went there and came back better. Dear friends, feeling of headache and heart and backache and all kinds of symptomatic conditions can't get better by psychotherapy. You go there and they have a lot of singing and they pray so-called. You come back feeling better. You say, I'm better. I am better. I didn't feel so good. Now I feel better. That is the better of what it means. But if there is the cases that Jesus healed, will come to them, can they do the healing of the paralytic? The one that was born paralyzed and was 40 years old at the beautiful gate, and that Peter says, money and whatever I do not have, but all I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man was born lame, stood up and walked. That is the kind of healing that Jesus did. Jesus raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, paralyzed hands and feet moved immediately, perfectly, perfectly. And every sickness that came to Jesus, to the disciples, to Paul, all were healed. Now, do you know that for 2,000 years, there was no healing, no signs, no miracles until the 20th century. What happened? Do you know that Paul the apostle was able to heal? And even as it were, if he were to pass by and his shadow overcast, sickness was immediately healed. However, 1 Corinthians 13, you read there, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8, it says, whether there be prophecies, they will cease. Whether there were healings, they will cease. And tongues, they will cease. All these gifts of the Holy Spirit cease. So much so that Paul's disciple Epaphroditus was sick even unto death. Did Paul heal him? No. He could not. Because by that time, the gift of healing was finished. No more gift of healing. What do you do? Pray. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much, is what we are told to depend on. Pray for them. For sickness of the body will be fully healed when Jesus returns. We shall all be given new bodies, perfect. And never to sick, never to be sick, never to fall sick, never to be to die anymore. So this is the message today. They're smooth talkers. Mega meetings. The national stadium is filled with 20,000-30,000 people when the Reinhard Bonnke and others who came this way. And their message is healing and health. He's always harping on healing and health. And giving and wealth. The more you give, the more wealth you get, and people believe. And so they do. They are looking for healing and health and giving and wealth. A lot of showmanship and charisma is part of the show of the present day charismatic movement.
What has the modern charismatic movement accomplished? It has caused a great proliferation of tongue-speaking churches around the world, and caused a lot of return to Rome movement. This is the main impact. In the last century, all the evangelicals have pledged to return to Rome. All the charismatics are pledged to return to Rome. All the Anglican Church has pledged to return to Rome. Who else is not returning to Rome? A few people, stupid people, like the Bible Presbyterians. I say, we stand on the Word of God. We stand on the truth of God, not on numbers, not on popularity, not on false teaching. I read the final verse and then we shall close. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 24. These are the signs that Jesus gave when asked by the disciples, Lord, tell me, what are the signs of your coming again? And this is the final sign. Before Jesus comes, there will arise false Christ, false prophets. This is a prediction by whom? By Jesus himself. False Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. This is the masthead and the trademark of this group. Signs and wonders of what? Of propaganda. Yes. Do you know Hitler had a propaganda minister called Dr. Goebbels? He says, you tell a lie. Keep telling people that you heal. Tell it often enough, from every quarter, people will believe you. From no healing, they will say, I was healed. Who are you to say? It was proven I'm healed. So these are the signs and wonders. In so much, verse 24, the last part, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Amen. This is the peril. Even the very elect. There are those who have been elders in the church, leaders in the Christian church, who finally yield to this charismatic deception. And even the very elect, they will be deceived. Are you deceived? Let us close in prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy truth which Thou hast given us in Thy holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. Teach us to follow only the Lord and His Word and never to obey the false teaching that is now swarming around the world. Hear our prayer. Protect us from all deception. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.